Our precious Heavenly Father, we pray that you will have your way in each and every heart here, that your Spirit will deal with each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You that have your Bibles, if you care to turn to Romans 3:21. That's Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Now he's saying that the law, he just ended by saying, nobody will ever be justified before God and before his court. No human being, regardless of what law it is, will ever be justified by a law. Whether it's the law of Moses, the law of creation, the law of conscience, the law of the Ten Commandments, he uses three of them, by a ritual law, any law, no man will ever be justified by keeping the law that he was responsible, that he knew about. And that's in his sight, of course. See, that isn't in your sight. Remember, you were born into a sinful race. Regardless of where you were, you are around nothing but sinners. And that's a pretty bad thing to judge yourself by. You know? Says that's how man makes a mistake, is judging by another man. See, I'm better than him. I hope I can find somebody I'm not as bad as. You know, I never have met anybody that they hadn't found somebody that they thought they were better than. So he said, it don't make any difference. That's just the knowledge of sin. Your conscience proved that you were a sinner. The law proved that you were just a bigger sinner. It even went to your thoughts. But God's holiness isn't going to change, see. His foundation of his court is he is a holy God. And he cannot look on sin in any degree of allowance. Because the wage of sin is death. And anybody that sins in any way dies. Have you ever known anybody that lives very long? They're all sinners. They all die. So, that's what he's saying here. And these laws only prove you to be more sinful. Now, God is not going to give up his holiness. That's the basis of this whole universe. If he ever gives that up, there's nothing. Of course, he can't. That's an impossibility. But how could he bring that holiness to a sinner? How could he save the sinner and be holy? See, that's what he's saying here. That's what he says, especially in the 25 and 26 verse. You'll notice through the Bible that the devil is the accuser of the saints. He brings accusations against saints. Of course, he's probably got real, true accusations against them. And if God is a holy God, why did he let Israel get by? Why did he do that? Well, when Moses come down off that mountain with what they asked for, what did he do? He didn't just cut out one of them, a golden image. When they broke that one, they broke them all. So he smashed them all. Because they broke them all. And what did God do? He says, told him about an altar right away. Told him how to build that altar and get an altar built. Well, was God just going all those years? Think of the hundreds of years that he put up with Israel. He didn't kill them. He didn't wipe them out. And he should have time and time again. So this tells you there in that 25th, 26th verse, why he didn't do it. And why he could still be just and his holy throne was not found that it was unholy in any way. He had the money in the bank, didn't he? Now, it didn't appear, evidently to them he did. But he did. And this tells you where that money was. Why he could cover sins up to the time that Christ would put them away for good. What good would an animal? You killing an animal for your sins really be? I think about that. Some innocent, dumb animal. What would that be? Well, dying for my sins. An animal dying for your sins? What a trade-off, huh? See, that's why it says in Hebrews, it was impossible for an animal to put away your sins. But what a trade-off when the Son of God did it. There are ones that will say, well, that couldn't be. That was too much of a trade-off. That was the trade-off. Had he had a human being that would have had a perfect human righteousness, Paul says, and had died, we'd be right back where we started. A human righteousness, that's all we would have. And, of course, had Adam did it, he would have been like the 3/4 of the angels that didn't. There would have been a ceiling. But he still wouldn't have had the life of Christ. He still wouldn't have been a son of God. He still would have merely been a creation. So, as we study this, these 11 verses, and I'll read them here in a minute. You all got a little piece of paper. I'll read that on justification or imputation or regeneration where the very life is imparted. But then if God, say for instance, God would have brought me and he had enough money, which he did, and Christ died for my sins. He would have covered my sins and had mercy on me and not charged me for my sins. But I had went out of his court, not changed inwardly. See? What would have that been? I would have been a justified sinner. That's all I'd have been. So, he not only did that, see, he not only imputed Christ's righteousness, but he imparted his very life. And you that are reading this thing, you'll see he did it at the same time. Do you know how many people know this? Think of how many people know this. You go out tomorrow and start questioning people about justification. See how much they know about justification. You'll find out that they're trying to be justified by doing or not doing something. If they're a Catholic, if they haven't given up and saying, I'm going to hell anyway, and got a divorce, I couldn't take it. And I'm excommunicated, et cetera, et cetera. You'll run into those. They're not trying anymore. They think they're going to endure hell. Or they'll try to talk themselves that there is no hell, but there is a hell. That the Catholics are right on. They're completely right on. There is a hell. And that's where they're going. A lot of them are there that are saved. They're not going to purgatory. They'll be going to heaven just like anybody here that has been justified. But what are they doing? And then you meet the Protestants. What are they doing? What's the Mormons doing? What's the Assembly of God doing? They're trying to do some works to either stay saved or to get saved. Finally get saved. That's what they're doing. So they don't understand justification, do they? They do not understand these 11 verses at all. A lot of them will read those 11 verses and say, well, that's what it says, but it sure don't mean that. It couldn't mean that. But that's what it means. And like we said, this is the most profound book ever written, Romans. In other words, it'll teach you something that no other book will ever teach you. It's the deepest as far as justification, not your reward, Ephesians is, but your life. So, wouldn't it do you good to get to know Romans? So now I will start and read again, 21. But now, not then, now it's manifest. Back then you could say, well, God's give us the law, and he expected them to keep that law because they made the vow. They didn't. But now, that way was never the way to righteousness. You remember Boaz with Ruth. He said he had a nearer kinsman than himself that had right to her first. And that was the law. See, the law had the first opportunity to redeem. But it was weak in the sinful flesh. There's nothing wrong with this holiness of the law. He's going to say, we establish it. That's just it. It is a holy law. It's going to send every sinner to hell. And not only to hell. It's going to produce the wrath of God against sin in the degree that they did it forever. It's holy. What business have you and I, without being justified and having a new life, standing there before this court? See? That white throne. There's no business for a sinner to be standing there. And that's all that will be standing there. It will be just. So, that's what he's saying here. But now, see, it wasn't then. He gave them the chance. They had the near kinsman. Without the law is manifest, and it always was. There always was just one way. And that was through the sacrifice. That was the only way, and it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ that would come, the seed. There wasn't anybody that ever kept it or kept any law. And as Galatians tells us, it would have been no need for somebody or for God to have tried to give us the grace way before he gave us the law way. Because each and every one of us, if we get a little goody two-shoes people, that's our salvation. And that's in each and every one of us. That was in Cain. He was wroth that his brother would witness to him the blood way. He didn't need the blood way. And that is in man. That was in the first man. That is in all of us. So, he has to go through this and explain that the blood way was the only way. It wasn't any law way. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. We went over that. It's all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't anybody that deserves any glory whatsoever of God's. Understand that. If you and I have God do anything for us, and what he'll make of us. Think what he's making of us right now. Glory. That we should be glorified together with him. The glory that'll be in us will be what will glorify us, of course. If it was just given to you, it would just be like I just said about forgiven of sins. If it wasn't a change of heart, a new life. But the glory. Adam had a glory. You know, he had a good time. Wouldn't you have a good time there? Sure. There was glory. He was glorifying God, what God had done. And there's people that glory. God lets them glory. He creates them certain ways. And usually the glory that they get, they point to him. But really, they're not sharing that glory with him. But here, it says that they shall have no glory whatsoever. None. Read that. And come short of the glory. How short are they? Some of them are shorter than others. But none of them are going to get any glory. They go to hell. There'll be no glory there. You won't be going around what you look like, glory. Believe what God says. You know what death does. You young people there you're sitting. You're just... Death's a million miles, a trillion, trillion, billion miles away. And Betty's shaking her head because she knows. It creeps up quick, don't it? See? Real quick. And you see what it does. Makes you hobble along. My wife's home with her ankle all swollen up. See? Called old age. And... like my sister Ida Fern said, it isn't for sissies. So, I'll turn to Thessalonians here a minute since I'm thinking of it. 2 Thessalonians Second Thessalonians 1:8. This is when he'll be revealed. This is not the going that we're expecting to go. As Jesse had got to that fourth chapter, that's the going. This is the coming and we coming with him. It's from heaven, not to heaven. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we started off with the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What's the first phase of the gospel? There. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, how can we escape if we don't take in the full gospel? That what it can save us from and to? But who shall be punished with everlasting destruction? Get this. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What if the only thing that you would be punished from was that? Wouldn't that be enough? Plus, the day of His vengeance will be one long day for you that will never end. See? No glory. You are taken out of the presence of His glory. Just to think, what's going on a billion ages from now? I don't know. Here I am with God's wrath. And I cannot stand up here and even begin to tell you what that'll be like. Jesus, that couldn't lie, He expressed it like, don't be afraid of anything that a man could do unto you. Now, if somebody was to come in here and start shooting us, I wouldn't like that. Now, especially if they would take us out and start torturing us like they did the other Christians, I wouldn't like that. He told the Smyrnians, just be faithful to death. He told John the Baptist, just be faithful to death. Come and announce me and then let them cut your head off, because that's your job. Isn't that nice? Huh? See? But He said, all of anything that man's done is nothing to what God's going to think up for you. Believe that. Because He said that. So it isn't just the glory. It's the torments. The rich man lifting up his eyes in torments. Not a torment of just a guilty conscience of the sin that he had committed, but torments multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Torments. Well, I'm sure even most people, they don't want to go to hell, you know. They, like my dad used to say, I wasn't ready to get ready to quit everything and get ready for heaven, but I sure didn't want to go to hell. Just a fool wants to go to hell. But we will read on the 24th. Being justified freely. Now this word freely is by His grace is the same word that is said, they hated me without a cause. In other words, there was never no reason to hate Jesus. And there was never no reason for God to show you grace and send His Son. It was all in Him, not you. See, that's the kind of God He is. He's love. He's full of grace. So it was nothing in us that would make Him do it. It was all in Him, in His pity and His love. He loved us. And what He could do for the believing heart. You see, grace, it doesn't say justified freely by His mercy. Because He can show you mercy and you'll never be justified. Understand that. In the ages to come, he shall show forth his mercy. No, he's not going to show mercy. He's going to show grace. Grace does something for you. Mercy, he could be merciful to the devil. I'd have to think he has been, or he'd have cut him off a long time ago. See, he could show mercy up to a point, and he does. And he showed each and every one of us mercy at certain times. But if we don't lay a hold of his grace, then he cannot do his work in us and make you that glorified thing that you really do want to be. So justified through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So now we'll read this. What is justification? Now remember, justification is when he imputed Jesus' righteousness on you and put your sin on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever try to figure that out. And well, if you do, I'd like you to explain that to me. But he did it. I can explain it up to a point. But then my way of thinking is what? Just the opposite of that. You know, how could that be? But this justification is that we draw it on his righteousness. God could forgive sins by covering them up to a point once a year. And then after that, the price had to come. We read earlier, all men were liars. God was faithful. He sent his son right on time. He paid the bill with his son's righteousness right on the time. But here, as you've read these few words, you see that was the coat. His righteousness was put around you, Ron. That's what he offered Adam and Eve in that typical thing. But he had to take your sin and the way he seen you and put it on his son. And that's what he did at the cross during those 3 hours. And he took that coat for you. Now, that coat is the most wonderful thing there is, isn't it? His righteousness. That's what it says. He is our righteousness. And that's the way this holy court sees you forever. As righteous as his son. He has declared you righteous, and there isn't a court below his court that has anything to do with it. The devil may rant and rave, but he was destroyed at Calvary, and he knows it. Soon he'll even know he has but a short time. You know, the time has come. That's what he said in the Holy Spirit. He shall reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of the death which he was going to minister straight to the devil. He says, because now is the prince of this world destroyed. He's gone right now. This is it. The death blow to him. The sentence has just not been carried out. The sentence has already been laid down. He's never going to get Jesus back there in death in a tomb. They're never going to find out anything wrong with Jesus. When do you think God's going to find out something wrong with his son? Never. So he's our righteousness. That's how safe you are. It'll never happen. In the ages to come, God's just going to get the show started. What he's going, I think, sitting around, I wonder if if this is just getting us ready for what he wants to give us, you know, what is it going to be? We can get so hung up here on this little old life in sin and pleasures. What is the pleasures that he has that are coming through that sign? Because he's the one that's sitting on the right hand. So I'll read it. Justification and regeneration are imputed. What is the difference between justification and regeneration or new birth? There are a number of points of difference. Justification is a governmental act granted by God as a sovereign. Generation is a personal act granted as God as a father. In the former, we are pardoned by divine justice. In the latter, we are begotten by divine love. The first is pronounced upon the basis of Christ's death and resurrection in our behalf. The last is wrought through the power of the incorruptible Word of God. Of course, they occur at the same moment. Justification gives a sinner who believes a new standing. The new birth gives him a new nature. The former imputes. Now, the next 4 and 5, we'll get into impute, and it's the same word as reckon and count. One of them's a Latin word, one of them's a French word, and one of them's a German word. We'll get into that. The former imputes righteousness and counts as holy. The latter imparts. See, that's what you got. You're a very son of the living God. And you're not the son of the only or the first. See, he is those two. He has that position. He dwells in a light that no man. See? Attributes that you don't have, nor will you ever have. You that knew my father, you knew that he had 3 sons, and some of us were different. But my dad had attributes that the 3 of us did not have, did we? You know that. But he was our dad. See that? God is your dad, your father. It says we call him daddy. That's in Galatians. Abba, father, or daddy. Because you're born of him. And this is what this is saying right here. The latter imparts righteousness, makes us holy. The former reckons us innocent and makes us citizens of the God's kingdom. The later makes us children and heirs of God's family. Justification changes our position. Regeneration changes our relationship with God. See, and then sanctification could only come from regeneration. As we'll get into that. Sanctification would have never, if we'd have just been justified sinners. You understand that? How could that be? Regeneration changes our relationship. The former makes us accepted of Christ. The latter makes us alive in him. The former puts us into Christ, the last Adam. The latter puts Christ into us. When God pardons or justifies a sinner from his iniquity, he also imparts his son's divine human. Get that word, human. Life. He perfected it for us. To him, therefore. Salvation really includes justification and a new birth, a new standing, and a new heart. In justification, God's attitude toward the sinner has changed. In other words, what he's saying here now, Jesus had to perfect that perfect human natural life, which he did. That's what the devil didn't want him to do. He wanted him to act as God. He had to act as a man that completely says every moment of his life to God is in charge, God knows what he's doing, and God makes it happen. I don't make it happen. Jesus did not make it happen. He let God make it happen. And that's what he perfected. So, he gives us, but if that was all that he would have given us, we'd have still been back. He gave us a very divine life, he's saying. He gave us God life. We're not just created, we're born. We're very sons of God. It doesn't appear right now what we shall be manifest as. The sons of God. Let's hope that we're going to be those full-grown. Of course, daughters, that's just an illustration. I hope you understand that. His son's divine human life to him. Toward the sinner is changed. His attitude is, we are accepted in the beloved forever. He sees you as he sees Christ forever. That's his attitude. By regeneration, the sinner's attitude toward God is changed. Both changes occur at the same moment. Even at the very moment that the sinner believes on the Savior. Note Paul's beautiful words on both of these experiences. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by washing, laver of generation, and newing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, that's what it's from. Then verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood. Now this word here, this is the only really time they have it like John, but it isn't. It's a propitiatory, really, in the Bible. And it is the ark, actually, where they took the blood in on the mercy seat. See, the propitiation was the brazen altar where it was slain, Calvary. Now that was justification. Now he goes a little deeper here and he's saying that the value that was in that blood, what will come out of it when he went to heaven and it was done. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousnesses, even Jeremiah 13:6, it says there that Israel will finally say, God, our righteousnesses. Can you imagine them finally saying that? They'll admit, he's our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness, just like I hope you understand he is tonight. They'll finally say it. And the bride of Christ, you'll notice that it is the righteousnesses of the saints, which are works. There you have works for that garment. There are the bride of Christ. Declare his righteousnesses for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. In other words, we just got through telling you how could he not punish, and finally, after over and over and over, we'll get to David. You know, is his court just another kangaroo court? Has he got pets that are sinners? That are, he's going to let them go because he We read no respecter of person, but there was. I remember a person called this person a pet. They're just a pet of God. Because he could get away with a lot of stuff. She figured she couldn't get away with anything. And you're just another pet of God like David and those people, you know. See? Well, she could have been a pet. See? Had she known how to do it. Have you found out how to do it yet? No. He's no respecter person. You can all be pets if you know what's in Christ Jesus. But you're not going to be his pet outside of Christ Jesus. And the quicker you make up your mind to it, the better off you'll be. Now, he doesn't want you... That's just it. He cleans you up. That's really being a pet. But then he does know that heart that wants him. That's what it amounts to. And I have to go along with what she said. Yeah. It's nice to be a pet. But you better find out why they're a pet. Huh? Like I said, you can be one too, but it's only going to be the way he tells you to be it. It's not going to be by your own self-righteousness. And that person was declaring their own self-righteousness right then because they wanted some fire to come down on that person. Much punishment. And after... probably praying, Lord, don't allow this. Start punishing. Show that he's not your pet. Just the opposite happened. Whew. Ain't it terrible when you will not and you decide you're not going to go God's way? He's not going to show you any of his kindness, of his grace that he can do until you really believe that 27th verse there. That's what that 27th verse says. But anyway, he says, God forbid. He looked through the death. He knew he was going to, he knew he had the money in the bank. He knew he had a son that would perfectly do it, perfectly give his life, and a perfect life forever. He knew that. So, he was just, and he was the justifier of them that believe. That's the simple thing. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, this means that it's neither based on my works, good works, or bad works, don't it? Are good works works? Sure, they're works. Any way you want to look at it, it's works. If it's my good works, it's works. If it's bad works, it's bad works. Hebrews calls them dead works, the good works. But as Dad had preached sermons on this, he would always say, now this law of faith is the only, well, not the only one. He explained that too. But it's a law that God cannot change. And he would tell you, remember when he changed time and the sun? He changed it. Remember when he changed and let wood sink and an iron head swim? He changed that law. Now, Einstein's theory maybe of gravity isn't the strongest law, they're saying. They're not certain what this string thing is, whether it's a philosophy or a real thing. They don't know yet. But you know God does, if you know the arguments that they have. But still, all those laws, there was many laws that he changed. He changed the law of old age for Abraham. See, he could do a lot of changing, and he did. But this law, he cannot change. When you come to him in faith alone in his Son, and as a child of his, he hears you. As he would explain it in the switch, if you switch on that light is going to burn. Now, something could happen with that, but nothing can happen with this law. He cannot change this law. Now, there's the wisdom, and as a father, knowing what to give you in the switch. That's all in the switch. Understand that. But this is a law if in faith you believe in him that he will do the exactly all things are going to be working for your good. He cannot not answer your prayer. But if you come to him with all the good works you done last week, and how thankful you are that you didn't do what so-and-so did, and you can lay in bed and be thankful when you think of what somebody else has did, well, I'm so glad that I'm not as bad as they are. Don't think you're going to get anything from God. With a legal mind that you think that you've got to do something to keep yourself saved and call God a liar and say that he did not finish completely your salvation and it's wholly because of what he did, don't think you're going to get anything from God. You're just a double-minded man. First, you're going to come in Jesus' full merit, and then you're going to come a little in your merit. Is that a double mind? See, first you're saved, then you're not saved. Like the song said, first you say you will, then you say you won't. You're undecided now. What in the are you going to do? Huh? Are you going to believe God like this says faith? It's all, what have I read? One thing. The blood. The sacrifice. His work. Are you going to twist God's arm tomorrow and say, remember what I did? Now, I want you to do this for me. See, he's more than glad. If you come the right way, you'll find out you're a pet. You'll find it out. Like Dad used to say, when God come into the garden after they had sinned, he could have beat their brains out right then. He had every bit of grounds to. He came in there to help them. He's here to help you. And we'll get into that much more. If he's already did all this for you, what in the world are you coming in? Screw, I've did and I haven't did. Huh? The law of faith is what? The strongest law that'll ever be. It can move mountains. It can reverse any other law. The law of faith through Jesus Christ. Let's stand.